Today, we are going to bring what to think to yourself, how to think to yourself together. We're going to bring the whole course together and we're going to talk about how we can do a daily practice with ourselves in between our coaching sessions with our coaches to help us identify the thoughts that we currently have and change them if we want to. Now, before we get started, I want to do a short review, just cover what we've covered so far. These classes that I have taught are very dense. There's a lot of information in them pulled from all the courses that I've taught over really my lifetime and through all of my body of work. I've been trying to condense it into what are the most important things that people need to know that I can get into their hands the quickest. And so the concepts that I am teaching in this class are those things. So when you think about the class, how to think to yourself, there are some steps that go along with them. And these steps will be outlined in a PDF for this video. And we will also have a picture of this model as we go through it. We will have that in Get Coach, so you'll be able to reference it if you want. So let's talk about step one. Step one is really knowing and understanding the concept that your thoughts and what you think in this world is what determines your experience of life. And we need to, in that first step, really distinguish between what in the world is a circumstance, something we can't control, something out there in the world, other people, the weather, politics, history, all of the things, our family of origin, how we were born, what families we were born into, what city, what state, what country we were born into. Those are all circumstances of our lives. And then there's our thoughts, which is what we think about those circumstances. And we must know the difference between those two things. And listen, I've been at this a long time, and I still often do not know the difference between a circumstance and a thought. I often think my experience of the world, and I'm going to share one of my models with you later, my experience of the world is coming from my circumstances. That is never the case. My experience of the world is also always coming from my thoughts about my circumstances. So step one is we have to know what we're thinking and what in our life is a circumstance and what is a thought. Because if we understand the difference between a circumstance and a thought, then we know where our power is. There are some things in this world we cannot change. And we're going to be upset about that because we want, remember we talked about this, we want the world to be amazing and happy and awesome all of the time. And it's not. Half the time it sucks. But we have our power in this realm, in the thought realm. We may have circumstances that we make worse or better with the way we think about them. And so step one is we have to know what we're thinking and we have to know the difference between what is a circumstance and what is the thought. That's step one. Now, step two is we see how those thoughts that we're thinking feel. Once we become conscious of those 60,000 thoughts that are going on in our mind, we need to ask ourselves, how do those thoughts make me feel? Are these thoughts I want to continue to have? Because these thoughts will create the quality of my life. Now, just to review, a high quality life does not mean that we are simply having positive thoughts and feelings all the time. That is not a high quality life. A high quality life means we're conscious of what we're thinking and we're feeling bad when we want to feel bad, when it's appropriate to feel bad, when we're exploring what it means to be a human, half the time we're going to feel bad. And then the other half of the time, we're deciding on purpose what to think in a way that makes us feel great, makes us feel positive, or makes us feel motivated. Okay. So that's step two. Step one is we understand what we're thinking. We increase our awareness. We understand the difference between a circumstance and a thought. Step two is we understand with all those thoughts we're thinking, how do they make us feel? There's thoughts we want to have that'll make us feel negative, or there's thoughts we want to have that'll make us feel positive, but there's a lot of space in between where we're typically creating a lot of unnecessary negative emotion that we can switch to positive. And embrace what it means to have the 50-50 negative and process our emotion. So many of us are in this miserable maybe in between positive and negative, and we're not really feeling our emotions. We're avoiding them with all this buffering and escaping and not really processing our emotions through all those negative emotions through so we can move on and make progress in our lives. We talked a lot about how if you're going to live a highly evolved life where you're making lots of progress in your life, you're going to have to process negative emotion because you're probably going to be afraid. You're probably going to be frustrated. You're probably going to be defeated. You're probably going to fail. And as you're going through this life, you want to be able to embrace that negative emotion and process it and move through it. Okay. Step four is decide consciously what you want to think and feel so you can take the action that you want in your life. Your entire contribution in your life, your entire meaning that you will leave behind comes from your thoughts, feelings, and your actions, which are what create the results in your life. What results have you created in your life? Are they the results that you want? Are they the results that you are capable of creating every single day? Are you producing what you want for yourself, for your family, for your community, for your country? Are you doing what you want to do? Now, nobody can tell you what this should be except for you. But so many of us have all these actions and results we want to be doing, but we can't seem to get ourselves to do it because we're not taking into account this process. So when we start thinking about living a conscious and deliberate life, it means we're deciding these things instead of letting these things just happen. Most people that don't have this training, that haven't been exposed to being able to consciously change what's going on here, are just walking around having thoughts, feelings, and actions that feel completely out of their own control. And so many of us are blaming our results on our circumstances and missing out on this, which is the power center. This is where all of our power is. We decide what to think, we can decide what to feel. And when we do that, action becomes so much easier. We start working within our desired direction instead of against it. When we live an unconscious life, when we're not aware, and when I say unconscious life, what I mean by that is we're not paying attention to what we're thinking. We're not creating our thoughts on purpose. So we're not feeling the way we most need to feel to create the action to create the results that we want in our lives. So when I ask you the question, now as we come full circle, when I ask you the question, what do you want to think to yourself? How do you want to think to yourself? I hope that you understand the importance of that question and the importance of the answer for you. So we've gone into depth with all of these things, and I want to make sure that you understand this is the self-coaching model. And these results that we create will always come back up here and prove this. And that's what we talked about in our last class. We talked about creating thoughts and feelings and action patterns that will produce results that will help us further believe those thoughts. And that's how the momentum ball keeps moving. And that's how we get to the place where we're creating the results that we want in our lives. We're feeling the way we want to feel, and we're doing what it is we want to do. So I'm going to do a little quiz. This is very important. Circumstances are neutral. They are the things in your life when you look around that you cannot control. They do not have any effect on you until you have a thought about them. You have to be conscious about a circumstance in order for it to affect you. So for example, you could have a circumstance in your life where someone breaks into your car. Now, you don't know that someone's broken into your car, so it has no effect on you yet. You don't have a thought about it. You don't have a feeling about it. You haven't taken any action on it. It exists as a circumstance, but it's completely neutral to you until you're told about it, till you think about it. Then it starts having a direct effect on your life. If you never know that someone broke into your car, you're never aware of it, you never think about it, it will have no impact on you. You will not experience it into your life, even though it is a circumstance. This has actually happened to people. Someone breaks into the car, there's nothing to steal, or they steal something and no one ever notices what they stole. It never even occurs to them that something was stolen. They think they ended up losing those sunglasses or their purse or whatever. So they just never understand the impact of that circumstance because they never have a thought about it. Okay. So if you are unaware of a circumstance in your life and you don't have a thought about it, it doesn't impact you. The only thing that ever will impact you is you, in your personal experience of life, is something you have a thought about. And you have a lot of thoughts all day long. And the more I can help you bring these to your awareness and make them conscious and understand their effect on you, and then consciously decide to think something different, the better. Okay. So circumstances are neutral. We have thoughts about circumstances. That's it. That's how circumstances play a part in our life. We have thoughts about them. Now, our thoughts create our feelings. One thought creates one feeling. That's how we like to break it down. Our feelings drive our actions, and our actions create our results. So these are in perfect order all the way down, and then it circles back around and creates proof for this thought. If I believe that I am a powerful person, I am a powerful person. I'm going to feel powerful. I'm going to go out there and take powerful action in the world, and I'm going to get powerful results. And those results will further prove to my brain that I am a powerful person. Okay. Does that make sense? So I want to make sure that as we go forward with this class, and I'm going to demonstrate in the second half of the class, that you know how to utilize this powerfully for anything that's going on in your life. Any of these five things can go on in your life. So we can start when we're doing this work, and this is what we did on day one. We can start with just doing a thought download, right? We can start with a bunch of thoughts that come out of our head, and we separate them out from them circumstances. These are the facts of my life, and these are my thoughts about those facts. Now, it doesn't matter which thought we pick from there. We can just pop it in here. Any one of those thoughts is going to help us understand what's going on in our brain. It's going to create a feeling, an action, and a result process. And you can more understand your life when you work with a coach or when you do this with yourself, these patterns in your life, and you'll understand why you keep taking actions that you take. You understand why you keep feeling the way you feel because of the way that you're thinking. The other way that you can utilize this is you can start with a feeling. So everyone who's listening right now, I want you to ask yourself, what am I feeling right now? Are you feeling tired? Are you feeling excited? Are you feeling interested? Are you feeling bored? Are you feeling apathetic? Are you feeling discouraged? What is the feeling that you're having? You can start by putting a feeling in here and then ask yourself, what's the thought causing that feeling? And then fill in the rest of the model. So notice you can start with a thought, put the thought right here, just one sentence, or you can start with the feeling, put the feeling in here. Or like last week, we can start with an action. What are you doing in your life that you don't want to be doing? Or what are you doing in your life you want to keep doing? Or what are you doing that you want to start doing? So maybe some of you want to start exercising. Maybe some of you want to start being kinder. Maybe some of you want to start playing pickleball. Maybe some of you want to build a business, change careers, ask someone out on a date, whatever it is, you put the action in there and then you move back. You say, what would I need to feel? Excited, motivated, courageous in order to do that thing. And then what would I need to think in order to feel that? Okay. And we just fill this in with whatever that one specific thing is that we're working on. Okay. So the way that I like to do this, and we will give you a copy of this model, but you want to memorize it, because what we basically do is we just put the first letters in when we're filling out our own models. Now, just so you know, you do not have to be fancy. We have fancy pads that you can get with this, and we have, you know, PDFs that you can print out that have this on it. But I have done these letters, CTFAR, on the back of receipts. I've done them on my own hand. I've done them in journals. I've done them in the back of brochures. Sometimes, like, I got to figure out what's going on with me right now. I need to do a model. And so basically what it will look like is just that first letter. Okay, like this. And I have something that I'm dealing with right now. So I'm going to share with you one of my models, and I want you to see if you can follow along with the questions that I'm asking so I can finish my own model. Now, I would also do this and will also do this with you as I'm coaching you for the rest of the class. But the circumstance that I'm dealing with is I have a physical injury. I have a hip injury. Okay. So I'm just going to put that here, hip injury. Now, I'm not going to add, I'm not going to add here any adjectives. I'm not going to add any adverbs. I'm not going to add any opinions. I'm just going to do the straight factual diagnosis in the world, hip injury. Now, how I think about this hip injury is going to determine my experience in life with a hip injury. So let's play around with this a little bit. A thought that I could have is, this isn't fair, or this sucks. Allegedly, maybe I've had both of those thoughts. So let's just say, so I put the circumstance here, let's just say this isn't fair is the thought that I'm going to do. Okay. Now, this isn't a thought that I was even aware that I was having. I just had this hip injury and I was like, oh, this hip injury is causing me a lot of frustration, is what I was saying. But really, my feeling was frustration, but really I was feeling frustrated because of this thought. My hip injury wasn't making me frustrated. My hip injury was just being a hip injury. Okay. I had this thought, this isn't fair that I had this hip injury, and therefore I felt frustrated. And what I would do is complain to anyone who would listen and ignore the injury. Which, by the way, made it worse. In fact, I'll just put worse injury here to make it a result. Okay. So this is my model that I just did on myself recently. Okay. I have a hip injury. This isn't fair. I feel frustrated. I complain. I ignore the injury. I keep playing pickleball with my injury without stretching, without taking care of it, because I am pissed off and frustrated that I have it, and it just makes it worse and I have a worse injury. Okay. Which further proves that life isn't fair, because it just keeps getting worse and I'm not getting any better. This isn't fair. Now, I want you to think about the fact that my circumstances isn't going to change. I can't control that right now. At this moment, I have right here, I have this hip injury. I'm not going to be able to control it. But what I can control is all of this. I can control what I think, I control how I feel, I can control what I do, and I can control my results, which will ultimately end up affecting my entire experience. So we're going to leave this the same, but let's think about what I might be able to think here instead. Now, when I became aware that I was thinking this, I started laughing, because this is one of my favorite thoughts to have. And it's true that life isn't fair, Brooke. And it's true that it isn't fair that I get a lot of privilege in life that other people don't. And it isn't true. And it's true, you know, that it isn't fair that some people get injured and some people don't, but that is life. And when I sit there and go, man, this isn't fair. I shouldn't be hurt. It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous thing to say to myself. It doesn't serve me. It's not helping me in any way. It just makes me complain and screw it. I'm not even going to listen to my body. Okay. But the thought that I thought that I could do is this is part of my journey. This is part of my growth. This is part of my curriculum in life. This is an opportunity. Now notice, any one of those thoughts here is going to create a completely different result. So if I decide I'm not going to think this anymore, I'm going to think this is an opportunity. Now, I have to believe this, and I do, because I believe that life is 50-50. And I believe that we're not supposed to have perfect, wonderful, amazing lives handed to us. And we shouldn't be able to be in joy all of the time because that's not the purpose of our evolution. But if this is an opportunity for me, then I start feeling not frustrated, but curious. Okay. And when I'm curious, I start researching. This is what I do personally. I start researching. How can I make myself more healthy? How can I stretch myself? How can I prevent injuries? How can I ensure that my body is at the top of its game in terms of performance? And so this research creates a more healthy body for me, which further proves that this was an opportunity. And this is actually what I did. So I started doing some research. I started stretching more. I started doing more yoga. I started understanding the mechanisms of the body better. I started understanding how to move on that pickleball court in a way that would be healthier. I got introduced to a physical therapist who taught me a lot about ligaments and how my bones are connected to each other and how important it is for me to eat certain kinds of food. All of a sudden, this hip injury has made me a more healthy human, a more knowledgeable human. And instead of sitting around complaining and making it worse and feeling bad for myself, I now can actually feel curious. I can actually feel good about this injury. These kind of models that I do. Now, by the way, what I recommend doing is not crossing out the thought and replacing it, but doing two models side by side. I just don't have two flip charts, but normally I would do the old model and then the new model right next to it. And whenever I start feeling frustrated, I know that I'm thinking this thought, this isn't fair. Instead of thinking this is an opportunity. One of the ways that I really started to see that this is an opportunity is when, because I have this injury, I can't move as fast. Like when I'm playing pickleball, you guys know I'm obsessed with pickleball. I can't move as fast. So I have to be smarter in how I place the ball, not just how I place the ball to try and win the point, but when I hit it to them, are they going to hit it back to me in a way that I have to move real quick? I'm not going to be able to get it because my hip is hurting. So it's actually maybe it's been an opportunity to make me better at the game as well. So this can be for all the circumstances in our life. When we start looking consciously at what we can think to make our lives better, even when the circumstance isn't ideal, we create a much better life for ourselves. I want to give you one more example. Going upwards in the model. Okay. So let's say there's a result that you really want to create in your life. This is how, here, let me write these up here. And this is what you can do just anywhere, CTFAR. What is the result that you want to create in your life? And you want to know what thoughts you need to practice in order to create that result. So for me, I wanted to create the result of, I'm debating which one I should do. So I have one here where I want to make $100 million in 1 year. I also had one where I wanted to find a life partner. So I'll use that one actually. So I got divorced years ago and wanted to, you know, just date and have fun for a while. And then I decided I was tired of dating and I wanted to have a partner that could spend, like, a companion I could spend my life with. And so that was the result I wanted in my life. So find partner. Now you can put anything here. You could say make money. You could say buy a house. You could say lose weight. I want to weigh 150 pounds. This is what I wanted to do. The result was I'd have a partner. This is, so I keep putting verbs in there. It's better not to. It's better to just put life partner is what I should put here. Let's do that instead so I don't get in trouble with my teachers. who I actually taught the model to, who now teach it back to me. Okay, so I want to have a life partner. So my circumstance right now is that I'm single, or that I was. Okay. So if I want to find a life partner, what do I need to do? I need to, in my mind, get out and date lots of people. Meet and date lots of people. Okay. And tell them. I'm looking for a partner. I want to be in a relationship. I'm not just dating for fun. This is serious. Like, on the apps, when I met people, that's what I did. I'm looking for something serious. This is what I was going to have to do. Okay. Now, what would I have to feel in order to go on lots of dates and tell lots of people that I'm looking for a life partner? I'm looking for a companion. Okay. For me, I had to be determined and courageous. Because I will tell you, I went on a lot of scary dates. Courageous, is that how you spell it? I went on a lot of dates, first of all. So I had to be determined to go on a date. Didn't work out. Go on another date. Didn't work out. Go on another date. Didn't work out, right? Have to be determined. But also courageous to put myself out there, to tell the truth about what I was looking for, to risk rejection, to, you know, go on a date and have someone not like me, all of those things. So what would I need to think? And I actually tried on lots of thoughts and played with the ones that created more determination and more courage for me. And the thought that did it the best was, my man is waiting for me and I just need to find him. Okay. So when I thought about this way, I pictured him just like waiting, like, where is she? Why hasn't she come and said hello yet? And so I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want him to be waiting. I'm going to go find him. I'm going to go talk to him. And that's what I did. And I just went and met lots of people and had lots of conversations and was open to lots of different dates and lots of different experiences. And then one day, I found him and there he was. And it was like amazing. And it was like all of the things that I had been doing, especially the determination and the courageous feelings that I had been creating, had me going on all these dates and telling them what I wanted and ultimately finding it. Okay. So you can start with the result you want and then build back up. And ultimately, when you get this result, then your circumstance changes because now I do have a partner. Right. And then all the thoughts I have about having a partner then create my experience of being with that partner. Okay. So those are two examples of one where I had a negative thought that I kind of needed to unwind and replace. And another one where I wanted to create a certain result. And I started at the bottom and found out what I needed to think and then really thought that on purpose in order to create the result that I wanted. Now, I want to do these with you, and we can do anything. You can present with any problem that you're having or anything you want to create. And I'm going to show you how we put it through a model. I'm going to show you how to do your own model. But mostly, I'm going to suggest that you come to coaching sessions at least once a week and let us run your models for you. It's like our gift to you as part of being Get Coached is really showing you your brain. when we as coaches do these models on you, it is not our job to tell you what we think you should do or to tell you what you should feel or anything. We're just showing you your brain and letting you decide what you want for your own life. So let's do some models for the rest of this time. And we want to make sure that we stay with that ultimate foundation that we built in those first three classes. But now we get down the technique of how to fill this in a way that serves us to increase our awareness, increase our deliberateness about our lives, help us make decisions, and ultimately create the lives that we want. What's happening?
Hey there. I would like to really kind of narrow in on, you know, a great set of thoughts around putting myself out there in terms of content and an offer. Okay. And that's probably the sticking points have been around, I think, more so the content. I think it's less about that, just generally an identity shift and, you know, the noise around that versus the offer. Mm-hmm. The offer piece, how I'm thinking about that is like, I know that that is valuable and I just have to find the right way, the right details, the right way, you know, tactically how it can help more people. I have confidence in that and iterating and refining that. It's probably more so around the content piece. And that's just something that people who've known me for the last, you know, professionally or family and friends for the last 12, 13 years, that's not something that version of me would have done. And I think that I've gotten close to zeroing in on that. And it's just such a, when I say it's stickier, it feels like the emotions are stronger and deeper and harder to isolate on. So.
Okay. Guess, so you're not making content right now?
I'm not yet. I have a neighbor that is in the social media world and is super confident and helped me kind of lay out a plan starting with short form content and the next sort of roadmap. And a simple action plan to follow. And I haven't taken the, you know, buffering ideas of getting organized and what's the right platform and all.
Okay.
Those sorts of things.
So we're just going to do not creating content here. And what would you say is the reason emotionally? Are you afraid? Are you confused?
I think feeling, unprepared in doing it maybe the right way and mm-hmm. the right message and the right, yeah.
I need to do it the right way. So when you have to do it the right way, how do you feel?
That, you know, I'm afraid I'm not going to do it right.
Yeah, you're afraid.
that it won't work or right. Yeah. Yeah.
So this is, we're just going to put, are you a life coach? What do you do?
No, well, it's around, I'm trying to start that, but I think it's around creating sort of templates and tools, you know, with it versus one-on-one. But yeah, ultimately, that's
you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. We'll just put entrepreneur here. Okay. And so the result is?
The result is sort of to be a thought leader, really, around these ideas.
No. What's the result of not creating content?
Oh, I apologize. No content.
Nothing is right. This is what I want you to see. I think so many of us perfectionists think, oh, if we don't do anything, then it can't be wrong. But also, if you don't do anything, nothing is right. You want everything to be right, but nothing's right when you don't do anything.
There's nothing to be right or wrong.
There's nothing right. You haven't talked to anyone. You haven't given anyone any help with anything. There's nothing that you've done to help the world. And you have all of this help inside of you that you're hoarding because you want it to be right. Because what happens if it's wrong?
Probably nothing, but I think the at a distance, and I when I say nothing, I mean when I really think about it and bring it close, but when I'm keeping at a distance with buffering, it seems like it's something that's detrimental, comments, criticism, that sort of thing.
Yeah. You're going to be rejected. criticized?
Yeah. Right.
Is it rejection or criticism?
Probably criticism, I would think.
Okay.
I don't think
And criticism from your friends?
Yeah, call it close, circle of friends, loved ones.
Yeah.
Who would have a perception of who I was versus, the shift.
Yeah. So what's like the worst thing they could say?
just that I, we were right, that's not what you were doing. Therefore, go back to corporate finance, that kind of thing. Not literally. I mean, that seems extreme and really harsh, but not realistic. Right. I mean,
we were right.
But, yeah.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You should go back to corporate finance.
My delivery or like how I'm natural on campus and all sorts of things.
So let's say they said that. What would you think? Would you agree with them? Is there part of you that does believe that?
I think not like small parts, maybe just in my kind of communication style. I think that it could be better. It could be smoother. I could maybe speak more empathetically versus matter of fact about these kind of ideas. And so potentially in some areas. Yeah. Yeah. But nothing, I don't think I can practice when I think about it logically.
I mean, 'cause you can see how, if you have a thought that I don't want them to criticize me, then it really has to be right. You're going to have to show up in a way where they can't criticize you. By the way, impossible. They are so excited to criticize you. Mm. And I'll tell you why. It's not because they don't love you. It's because they watch you do something that's outside the norm and kind of crazy. It makes them very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It makes them they're like, what is happening? This is not the rules of the world. Corporate finance is very important. It's very serious. It makes good money. It's a viable career. This coaching nonsense, this entrepreneur nonsense, stop it. Like, this is why there's more people in regular jobs than not. So this is part of the deal. This is part of your work, right? So when you see this, I need to do it right. This is an important thought for you to pay attention to, because that you're going to have to be able to shift this in order to move on, because you are going to fail. You are going to make mistakes and you are going to get criticized, period. But I want to ask you this. Who is it that you're helping or that you're going to help when you decide to show up?
I would say initially it's probably just people that I'm closest with, but just broadly going to market, it's probably something in the, health and fitness space, just things that force you to, come to meet your mind. So in terms of trying to niche down, I enjoy health and fitness. I'm trying to start a business. So like maybe something like that, we can do health and fitness.
So you're going to help someone with their health, or you're going to help someone with their business, right? Or you're going to help someone maybe with their money, who knows, whatever it is, you have to focus on who are the people who are waiting for me to help them. And you have to think about those people way more often than you think about your friends who are like, what's happening now?
Yeah.
And when you spend your mental energy thinking about the people that you can help and the value that you can create, because why in the world would you leave a job in corporate finance to be an entrepreneur? Tell me.
Because I have very low leverage on my effort, and as an entrepreneur in the space that I want to go into, I can. So it's just the financial aspect. But for a truer, at my core reason, I have a lot of people close to me, even not even just from a financial goal perspective, but close to me that I would love to, because I can't, I don't, offering unsolicited advice to people that are close to you, that doesn't often go well. But I think that if, they can catch, see evidence of this thing working, and I think they're suffering unnecessarily. And I think them and also a lot of other people are as well. So,
You have a dream inside you, something nudged you, something ignited inside of you that matters way more than someone criticizing you. And when you think those thoughts, this matters, I only got this one life. I don't want to do the same thing that everyone else is doing. I want to try something different. I want to risk criticism. I want to risk rejection. I'm willing to go in there and I'm willing for it not to be right. I'm willing to be wrong. I'm willing to put myself out there and be wrong. If you were able to believe that, nothing could slow you down. Nothing. Because if you have to be right, you'll never do anything. Perfectionists are scared. We don't want anyone to criticize us. It's the most like weakened place that we can be in. But listen to this. If you're willing to have someone criticize you and you're willing to be wrong, that's when you can be fearless. So this thought right here, if you change it to, I don't have to do it right, I can do it wrong, and you could really believe it. All this, you're very serious. All this very seriousness would, and you'd call your neighbor and be like, let's put something out there and see what happens. You need to get a little bit of criticism. Like, let's let the worst thing happen so we can move on. We're all going to be fine.
Would you say that it's a sneaky sort of way that wouldn't be helpful to say, to put, someone criticized me in the C line, you know, projecting, of course, but then having a certain thought that,
yes,
that minimizes the fact that they like they have their own ego or frameworks that they're walking around with. They don't have any context.
Exactly.
Sorts of things.
Yeah. So put the worst case scenario that could possibly happen in the C line and handle it ahead of time. Absolutely. Yeah. Brilliant idea. But listen, I just want to help you tweak that a little bit. If someone says to me, being a life coach is ridiculous. Running this company that you run is ridiculous, right? For me, I can be like, well, you don't know, and you have your own ego issues and you're scared or whatever. Like, that can create me feeling like resentful and pushing away. But like, I get where you're coming from. Like, I understand. And you may be right. This may be ridiculous. And yet it's in my heart. It's in my soul. It's what I'm doing. And it doesn't have to be, you know, because I used to do that too. I'd be like, oh yeah, well, watch this, which you have to try on all the thoughts and see which one works the best for you. But yeah. I always found when people criticize me, if I can find the truth in it, like, this is insane. Like, when people say you're insane, I'm like, 100%. This is craziness. And I'm all in. And I've had a lot of people that end up following me too. So
there's some truth even for them, but even just objectively, there's some truth in what they're saying, I actually really like that. I see the value and understand, and I'm connected to the reasons why it's important.
Yeah. So like, for example, if someone says to you, you know, corporate finance is a much wiser decision because of this, 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 and this reason. You could be like, I totally agree with you based on those reasons. And I don't need to justify you and try to explain that life coaching is just as reasonable, because it isn't. It's just not. And it doesn't need to be, because I don't need to work within that framework. I can let this be something that's out of the box and something that's different and something that has a much higher chance of failure and still own that it's what I want to do.
I almost can't be reasonable. I can't be a reasonable person to want to make the impact that I have to. And I don't want to be.
Who wants to be reasonable? Yeah. What a terrible thing to want to be, right? But in their mind, reasonable means safe.
Yeah.
Secure, and that is the highest value. So when you understand that that's where someone's coming from, then you can be filled with compassion for them also and still own that you're a little bit crazy.
I think that's what I was trying, or how I meant to describe it before, which is like, they're criticizing, and my thought about them is to want to create compassion for us. So some thought that would create compassion for where they're coming from in the criticism. I think that's helpful.
But what you're doing with this model is trying to prevent the criticism,
right?
And there's no reason to bring it on. What do you have to say? I'm crazy. Yeah. This is a terrible piece of content. My templates are wrong. Okay. We're just warming up, kids. Keep them coming. Because the better you get at criticism, don't try and prevent it, my friends. The better you get at it, the better you'll get at creating for your life.
Yeah.
Awesome, David. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, my beautiful friends. This was How to Think for Yourself. I have given you the foundation of the tools that you need in order to create a life that is conscious. This is really all you need. We're going to teach you more courses. We're going to build on this. But if you can figure this out, if you do this, if you get coached, if you apply new thoughts to your new life, you can create new results. This is the work that I have done my entire life to now give to you. I wish I could have had this when I was younger so I could apply it, but you have it now. Start utilizing it. Go back and watch this course again if you need to. Take the notes, look through the PDFs, understand this backward and forward, and you will, I promise you, have the most simple, elegant tool to create any extraordinary result you want in your life.